to Packet Pushers, the data networking podcast where real engineers get together to talk about real-life experiences and working in the networking industry. I'm Greg Farrow, as always, your host. Today we are at the Network Field Day in San Jose. We've just had a presentation from StatSeekers. So what we've done is gathered a few people around a microphone. We've got...
John Herbert.
Bob Plankers.
Brent Salisbury.
And...
Stuart Reed.
So Stuart works for StatSeeker. We've just come off listening to a presentation there about what StatSeeker is and does. Those of you will remember in show 116, we talked to StatSeeker, where Stuart sponsored a podcast, and we went through the product in detail. So if you want to find out the real full pitch of the story, either watch the presentation on Tech Field Day, which will be uploaded to YouTube and Vimeo. You can find links from my blog at Ethereal Mind and in the show notes for this. Or you can listen to the podcast show 116. But what I wanted to do is just capture the reactions of the guys who were listening to the presentation, and then Stuart can just bandy some sessions backwards and forwards. This is going to be a short podcast, probably 10 or 15 minutes, so very quickly. So, Brent, you do a lot of network management. You're doing a lot with OF, OpenFlow, and SDN, and you do a lot of hacking around in Python. What do you think about StatSeeker as a technology there?
So what definitely jumped out at me is the fact that, so today, network management, it's the kitchen sink. It looks great when they come in. A year down the road, when you try and scale it out or up, it breaks. So just on the surface, they do a very focused set of fixing, problem solving, and they do it very well from what we saw. So that definitely stood out for me.
Now, Stuart, that's a definitive focus for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I love the idea of the kitchen sink. That's exactly what it's like. I think you called it a one of those knives that's got everything in it.
Yeah,
pocket knife.
Yeah. Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, that's right.
And you use one blade or maybe two.
As a knife, it's a crap knife, and as a bottle opener, it kind of works, but it's not a great bottle opener. And as a screwdriver, it's like the world's worst screwdriver, but it's got one.
Yeah. So I think you called us a Bowie knife because we're focused.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that we probably do most things that people want in network monitoring really well, but the few things you want every now and then, we don't even try to do it all.
So now that's a good point. And one of the things that struck me while we were doing the presentation today is what we cover is sort of like a 90-10. You cover 90% of the functionality, maximum efficiency, maximum focus. But there's no reason why that other 10% can't be solved in some other platform. And therefore, you've actually reduced your complexity of that custom platform by just monitoring just a handful of things.
And most people have already got another product that's doing that other 10% already. They've already got MRTG, or they've already got Cricket or Cacti or something there.
Yeah.
So just leave those running to do that bit. But the core, the heavy moving of monitoring a big network, you need an industrial strength tool to do that. So we do the heavy lifting and for all the little fringe things, well, keep the fringe tools. Keep the SolarWinds and the WhatsApp Gold and that kind of stuff.
Sure. So Bob, you run a big network. You're focused on the virtualization space. You think that... Stuart said we've got some server monitoring stuff there around SNMP and long-term monitoring of CPU and storage. I know you've had a lot of pain around.
Yeah, well, and whether the product, whether I would choose to do it in a tool that's geared towards network monitoring, Stuart had mentioned in the presentation that a lot of that stuff is really there for people that want to get rid of their other tools. I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting on monitoring on the server space and virtualization space and stuff like that, so I'll probably use the other tools, but there's a number of features that I really like about the about this monitoring network too. As a virtualization guy, I have to care about the network, I have to care about storage, I have to care about a lot of things other than systems, and I really like this. The idea that you've got the high resolution data back as far as you've collected it is really important. The averaging that systems do, even VMware vCenter, for example, collects a whole lot of statistics, but they become meaningless next week because after a week the roll up happens.
Yes, you got a spike at 100 and a spike at 0.
Yeah, and now it's 50, and now it's 25, and now it's 20, and all of a sudden something that was a real problem that you should be addressing doesn't look like any big deal. And so that high resolution stuff, and especially if we talk about the cloud. People talk about moving to the cloud, sizing things for the cloud. How much network bandwidth do you need to do something? Well, if you're going to try to figure out what you need to buy from a cloud provider, buy from even a colocation provider or whatever, and you're basing it off of historical data that's been averaged all to hell, you're going to make a bad decision. You know, if you need to burst a gigabit of data for a little bit, and it doesn't look like you need to do that. Well,
yeah, it's peak versus average.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes that 100% peak. Yeah. Is, you know, that's for 5 minutes at one time of the day when that batch file goes off and does something. That's the thing that matters.
And that's like the agent. That's payroll transfers or whatever. That's something that's really important to your organization. You know, that's all the sale data for the next week's marketing campaign.
It can be a CPU spike on your VMware server.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the classic one. Is like a Windows machine or a VMware server gets a CPU spike for 15 minutes in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that look like when it ramps down a week later?
It looks like a little bump. And then when somebody says, like, oh, it's slow or it's not doing this right, and I look at the stats and I go, well, I don't see a problem here. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. Right. I can crank up the stats, and that's what I've done. You know, like, say that I want to keep a lot of 1 minute data.
Yep.
These guys are doing that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, the 1 minute polling, it's the elegance of your solution is it's this optimization of the transactions where you can pull off at scale 1 minute polling. Never seen anybody else. I mean, we do 5 minute polling. We can barely do that. Right? And that's a distributed system, and
or you have to throw a lot of hardware at it. Whereas you could, for half the price of that, you could buy their software. A lot less.
I think we do 6 million transactions a day. It's the heaviest database. I'm not going to say who it is, obviously, but it's the heaviest database in the enterprise. Is that NMS system.
Yeah. I think that granularity, though, that 1 minute, and partly retaining it for a long time, but also what I found in the past with systems that are monitoring every 5 minutes or so just because that's all they can do, you miss the fact that, yes, okay, you had 100% peak in that 5 minute poll and you had an average of 50%, but the reality was it was jumping between 100% and 0% every other minute. Mm-hmm. And that was actually indicative of an underlying problem that we have with switch ports and buffering. Mm-hmm. You can only see that stuff if you actually drill down. Mm-hmm. I love the idea as well that you can then go back weeks. Yeah, we talked about the roll-up of data is deadly. Mm. When you want to look back at something to see, well, 3 weeks ago, was it doing this weird thing as well? Mm. Don't know anymore.
And the thing I like is the speed of the reporting. So you click the button, and 2 seconds, and all of a sudden the data's streaming into your web browser.
Yeah. Your graphing engine must be insane. So
especially for troubleshooting, especially when you need to find data fast. I mean, the response time is amazing.
Yeah.
I actually thought that it was quite slow today because being here in where I was, San Jose, and the StatSeeker server we were accessing is back in Brisbane City in Australia, having to wait maybe 5 seconds for the report to open up back here, I actually found that disconcerting. It was a bit uncomfortable for me.
I'm used to sitting in front of an MRDG going, coffee.
Other tools, same thing, where you sit there waiting for 30 seconds for it to come up, and then you can go and tweak the parameters on the chart to get what you actually wanted.
And then you bang it out again.
Meanwhile, you're 5 minutes down the road, you've not actually got any further than you were.
Yeah, so normally what happens in Cacti or MRTG is it'll pre-generate, you can configure it to pre-generate those graphs every night as a batch job, but that's only for a certain number of things. It can't generate every graph for everything that you want, and so the ones that are dynamically generated take quite a long time to generate. Because they're just using image magic to generate those GIFs and those JPEGs.
So. Well, the retention of the data is really, 90 days beyond that is, you're getting into tens and thousands and even hundreds of thousands of dollars in storage annually. So.
I think the other thing, too, is the pacing. So when you fetch, if you've got to fetch data every 60 seconds, you can't kill the device. So you must not be polling just 60 seconds, get everything, pull it back. You've actually got to be issuing, and there must be an algorithm. I know you're not allowed to say, because it's all probably patented or something, but you must be fetching bits of data consistently and then readapting the algorithm according to the response times of the device of the WAN. So there's a lot of smarts in there around that.
We go to a lot of effort to make sure we never overload the box. Because remember, this was designed... We started active sales of StatSeeker in the year 2000, and in those days, if you turned on NetFlow, your switch would stop switching while it's trying to do a report.
You could run an SNMP and the machine would reboot.
I know.
Heisenberg sucks sometimes.
So we built StatSeeker in the days where if you weren't really, really sweet in how you talk to a box, you would kill the box.
Yep.
And so that taught us the need to spread that load over an entire minute to learn what the box is able to do, and then only ever ask the box to do about 50% of what it's capable of. So we never send an SNMP get to the box asking it to give us back the maximum of what it's able to do. So there's no one thing that StatSeeker does that makes it so fast in the reporting.
Yeah.
It's 100 little things that...
Database efficiencies.
Yeah, where other products have said, look, okay, I'm finished with my SNMP tool, now I'm going to go off and do an application monitoring tool. We've just said, well, no, we haven't finished with SNMP yet. We still, until you can get the data in seconds and the data that you want in seconds and you can have it in the original granularity that was collected in, then you haven't finished yet. And so we just kept focusing on that. And while we don't have application monitoring and we don't have VoIP monitoring and all that, we don't mind because we think we do a really good job at just this part of...
Yep.
Which we think we do the fundamental part, the first part, which is my network there and what's my network doing and is it dropping packets and is it running errors? And once you've got that down, then go and look at your...
You can actually probably hit the CLI for most of the other stuff, to be fair. Yeah, for most of that.
Well, I mean, that history is vital for us because as network engineers, we're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah. Virtualization guys are that way, too. Second only to you guys. I can still pass my problems on to you.
That's right. The application guys blame the server guys. Blame the virtualization guys.
My VM is slow, you know. It must be the network.
We've got the power company, maybe, sometimes. Who we blame? That's about it.
The carrier. It's always the
one. Yeah, the carrier. Good point.
All right, let's wrap this one up. So I'd like to thank John Herbert, who is at Mr. Tugs on Twitter, and his journal blog site is lamejournal.com.
Yep.
Bob Plankers, who is the lone sysad... No, his blog is lonesysadmin.
Yeah, I'm the lone sysadmin or whatever. It's just lonesysadmin.net.
That's right. And your blog handle is lonesysadmin?
Actually, you can't have admin in your Twitter handle, so I'm lone... There's a lonesysadm_n, but I'm also at Plankers on Twitter as well.
Okay, and Brent?
Brent Salisbury, a blog at networkstatic.net and on Twitter at networkstatic.
And thanks for joining us, Stuart. Thanks for coming to San Jose to join in the tech field day with us.
It's a pleasure. I love 11-hour flights.
You were coming anyway. Don't make it. And, of course, I'm Greg Farrow. You can find me on my blog at ethereummind.com. And follow me on the Twitter is at ethereummind. Packet Pushers has a website where you can also blog. You can leave comments about the show and tell us things that are going on. You can follow us on the Twitter is at Packet Pushers. And, as always, remember that too much networking would never be enough.